Craig is usually a fan of water cooler talk, but it's draft season, and that's all anyone wants to talk about. The Athletic has loads of articles about this year's draft, but Greg doesn't have The Athletic, so now he's filling up his water bottle in the bathroom sink, which, to remind you, is the sink people use after they use the bathroom. Get The Athletic and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
All right. Welcome to the Viking Age podcast. I'm your host, Adam Patrick. I'm the editor of thevikingage.com, where we cover the Minnesota Vikings. And as always, I'm joined by my co-host, Chris Shad, who writes for us here at the Viking Age, as well as Zone Coverage and Bring Me the News. Before we get started, if you're watching us on YouTube, make sure to subscribe to our channel and like this video. Just crossed the 700 subscribers mark, so a little bit cool. So thanks for supporting if you have already, and if not, just go ahead and click that subscribe button. Also, you can follow the Viking Age on Twitter and Facebook, and the audio version of this podcast is available on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, iHeart, wherever you get your podcast. I don't have any trivia or fun facts or anything, so let's just get right into it. The draft that everyone's been talking about all weekend. The WWE, the 2023.
Who's going tonight? That's what we're talking about. Thanks for coming on, guys. Everybody logs off.
Oh, yeah.
I was hyped up for it. I got the Bret Hart hoodie going on right now.
The 2023 NFL draft. After 9,000 mock drafts, we finally figured out who the Vikings ended up with during the draft. Of course, there are 2024 mock drafts out already. So if you're really itching for one of those, they're out there, and the Vikings are taking quarterbacks in a bunch of them, so something to keep in mind. But this past weekend, on Thursday, Friday, and Saturday, Vikings only had 6 picks. It was weird. If you're used to covering the Vikings draft the last few years when they've had like 10 or 11 or 15 draft picks, they had 6. It was actually kind of nice. It was a nice little break. So I started on day one on Thursday by not selecting a quarterback. Will Levis and Hendon Hooker were both still on the board, but the Vikings went ahead and drafted USC wide receiver Jordan Addison with the 23rd pick in the first round. Then on day two, they had a pick earlier in the third round, and then they decided to trade all the way back, I believe, to the very last pick in the third round, and they wound up with Mekhi Blackmon, a cornerback from USC. So their first two picks are from USC. Apparently, they saw a few of their games this year and liked what they saw. Then on the third and final day of the draft, the Vikings added 4 players. They added Jay Ward, who is a safety hybrid corner, slot corner, linebacker player from LSU. They added not Jacqueline, but Jacqueline Roy. I don't. Jay Roy.
You feel like the substitute teacher in Keenan Bale.
Jaqueline.
Hey, Ron.
But I think
you want to go to war.
I think the Vikings coaches were calling him Jay Roy, so we'll just call him that.
Okay,
Jay Roy, defensive tackle from LSU. Then they added a quarterback, Jaren Hall from BYU, in the 5th round, who I believe is 25. So we can talk about that. And then with the final pick, the Vikings added a running back, Dwayne McBride from UAB. Now, of these 6 picks, or just in general, what the Vikings did this past weekend, you know, what intrigues you the most about what the Vikings did during this year's draft?
I don't think anything in particular intrigued me about the picks. It's just kind of the overall theme. I don't think there's really an overall feeling of excitement with this class, especially with the fan base. It just kind of seems like it was a big helping of vegetables, really, from the top pick on down. You know, there was nothing in this draft that made me jump off my couch and be like, here come the Vikings. Here we go. Like, Philly, we're coming. Look in your rearview mirror. Like Howie Roseman was over in Philadelphia.
In
yeah, he was like, you know, Captain America assembling the Avengers. If you know, the Avengers were like the Georgia defense or mm-hmm. whatever. You know, we kind of got spoiled a little bit with all that QB speculation. Mm-hmm. A trade just never was possible with this team because, you know, the Texans gave up a ton just to move up from 12 to 3. I was kind of trying to figure it out, and the Texans wind up with the same picks next year. I think the trade wound up being like 2,500 points over slot value, according to the Spielberger over the cap straight
over cap
chart.
Guy?
Yeah, let's go with that. Yeah. Like it was a lot, and you know, the Vikings would have been moving up 11 more spots than the Texans were. So by the time the Vikings were on the clock, there's Hendon Hooker and there's Will Levis on the board.
Yep.
And both of those guys, like, let me just summarize this here.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think there was a move in this draft where the Vikings would have sounded the alarm that they're a contender. Because by the time 23 rolled around, you had two quarterback prospects who had major flaws coming into the draft. Mm-hmm. You had, you know, a whole bunch of corners that really were comparable to some of the other corners that went in the later rounds, especially to Mekhi Blackmon, who the Vikings got in the third round.
Right.
And like, I don't know, like you're going to trade down and get some more. Not like this wasn't a draft with a lot of game changers. So, I mean, to take Jordan Addison, I think it's a step in the right direction, not for 2023. He's not going to come in and be Justin Jefferson 2.0, but he's going to be a complementary piece. And it builds the roster. It builds the team so that when you are like the Jets are feeling like they are a quarterback away, yeah. you have this infrastructure where maybe you trade for the next quarterback that's going to be pissed off or the next, you know, rock star quarterback prospect, or even just roll with an adequate guy like the 49ers are doing and just ride them all the way to the Super Bowl. Like there are a lot of options for the Vikings. And I mean, it's not exciting. It's not sexy. I don't think the Vikings are winning the Super Bowl after this draft, but it's okay. Like it's just okay.
Yeah. I don't think their plans were, I mean, obviously they would like to win the Super Bowl next season, but I don't think that they're realistic and they're not, they're not gearing towards next season to be the season where they try and win the Super Bowl. I think they're more, everything they've done is more pointed towards 2024 and 2025 as years where they're going to try and get to that goal. I liked the Addison pick after watching, you know, some YouTube stuff. People are going to like probably be like, what are you talking about? It's not even close. But he reminds me a lot of Stephon Diggs. He's smaller in his frame, but as far as like route running and being able to just get open with his, you know, his feet and his hips and everything, just to lead guys in one direction and then just go the other way, and just leave them in his dust. He seems like a more updated, a younger version of Adam Thielen and Diggs, where they're not the most physical guys, but they're going to use their route running ability to get open, and then they're going to make plays after the catch. And I think that's exactly what the Vikings need. Kevin O'Connell was clearly happy that he was able to get him in the first round, and that it seemed like Kwesi wanted to trade back. Kevin O'Connell seemed like he was probably adamant in that draft room, like, no, I mean, this guy, he's there. Let's get him. And I think it'll turn out well for the Vikings, because I think Addison can be someone, and he doesn't have to be the top guy. Like, they got just Justin Jefferson. They got, like, you look at some of the other receivers that went places like Zay Flowers and who's the other guy that went to
Jackson Smith and Jigba?
Where did he go?
Seattle.
He doesn't have to be the top guy either.
No.
But Addison, he can come in and he's gonna have single coverage a lot of the time. He's gonna just have a lot of opportunities to make plays next year. It's important that he kind of gets up to snuff, because KJ Osborne he's no slouch. So let's not assume that Addison is gonna come in right away and like beat out KJ Osborne. He should, but we've seen this before where like Justin Jefferson didn't start when he was a rookie. That's not because he wasn't good. Let's get that out of the way, because he was good, but for some reason Mike Zimmer didn't feel like he was ready to start.
Well, he also had COVID during that training camp.
That's true.
Yep. You know, it was taken a lot more seriously back then. So
I think Addison, with Jefferson being number one, TJ Hockenson seems like he's the number two guy. So Addison can either be number three or even number four. And it's funny that like they added a receiver with their first round pick, because it seemed like they're they're gearing towards running the ball more, being more physical, being efficient.
Well, and I think, when you look at, I almost call him Sean McVay again. You look at Kevin O'Connell's offense, it's modeled after Sean McVay's offense. Right. What did they have? They had Cooper Kupp, this target hog. Lack of a better term there. The alpha receiver. Let's go that route. Yep. Everybody else was just like kind of complementary pieces. Mm-hmm. Like they had Tyler Higbee. They had Gerald Everett, who were kind of these all-around tight ends. Maybe Hockenson's a little bit better, but the secondary receiver was Robert Woods. Yep. I think, and I'm going to get accused for helmet scouting here because Robert Woods was also a USC grad, but he thrived in that role. And I see a lot of Jordan Addison in that role. So, and the size thing, I saw a lot of people talking about that. You know, Devonta Smith, he was also only 170 pounds coming out, or 175 or whatever it was. Jordan Addison's not that far off. And I mean, if it's, you know, five catches here too, I mean, can he be a threat? Can he make defenses say, hey, dude, we got to stop this guy? Not just, all right, everybody on Justin Jefferson, because that's what happened at the end of last season. So I like the pick. It solves an immediate problem.
Yeah, the size thing is always funny to me, too, because like college football is way more advanced than it was even 5 years ago. And it's a lot closer to it's not the NFL, obviously, but it's a lot closer to that skill level wise. Like, all the Bryce Young talk was hilarious to me because he's like, because we always talk about how the SEC is full of like the biggest guys, the most physical, the most talented guys. And Bryce Young was fine. He didn't get really injured or anything. And he was at Alabama and he's fine. And all of a sudden now he's, you know, going to Carolina. He's going to get hurt all the time. Like, yeah, they're going to need to protect him. But Carolina also has their offensive line is improving. And they have Frank Reich as their coach. He's going to do he's a quarterback coach. So he's going to do, you know, what's necessary to keep Bryce Young out of harm's way. But yeah, the size thing's always funny because like if these guys are able to make plays in the, you know, Pac-12 or ACC or SEC, they're probably going to be able to make plays in the NFL. So that's not a worry of mine. Any other players that intrigued you? They did get a quarterback, fifth round, that is. But I feel like this quarterback that they got, Jaren Hall out of BYU, I'm more excited about him than I have been about a late round flyer quarterback that the Vikings have taken in the last few years. Like they've took like what, Nate Stanley, Kellen Mond. He was a third rounder. Mm-hmm. But I like what I see in Jaren Hall in terms of like just being able to make plays when something maybe isn't there. I think that's what I like about him the most.
There's substance there.
Yeah.
Like, you know, Kellen Mond was more just a raw robot. Traits. Yeah. Where it was just like, he's got a big arm. He's mobile. He has no idea how to use either. Jaren Hall seems like he's got a nuance to play quarterback.
More fluid.
Yes. Yeah. It's more natural when you watch him on tape. You know, I was thinking about it from this frame. So I know I was very vocal against taking Hendon Hooker in the first round, mainly because of his age, but also the question marks that came with him.
Right.
You have a similar prospect to Hendon Hooker in the fifth round that Detroit got in the third round. He's a quarterback that is a little mobile. He's got a decent arm. He's a dual threat. You know, he throws a beauty of a deep ball. And again, you got him two rounds later. Now, if the Vikings are sitting there at TCO Performance Center and being like, this is the guy we've been searching for our long-term future, I have questions because, you know, fifth round quarterbacks historically do not pan out.
I think Mark Brunell is like the one who's like one of the few who's made a Pro Bowl, and that was in the 90s.
Well, I mean, even throughout like history, you know, you look at, I mean, Tony Romo was undrafted, but he's an outlier. Dak Prescott was a fourth round pick. Tom Brady, of course. Like, but I mean, I'm not sitting here counting on Jaren Hall to be the replacement for Kirk Cousins. Like, that's just asinine. Now, if he goes on the field and he balls out, let's have that conversation. But I like this pick. I mean, look at what the Packers did. Like, I think it was 12 picks before they took Sean Clifford, who, if you're a Minnesota Gopher fan, you remember him just being an utter disaster when the Gophers upset him back in 2019.
They did a lot. They didn't do a lot with a lot. Like, they had a lot to use, and they feel like they just pooped.
Their draft in their was weird. They took Tucker Kraft.
Yeah.
South Dakota,
and another tight end.
Right?
With their first three picks, two of them were tight ends. Good job, guys.
Yeah. But I'll get to that in a second because it's a little further on the outline here. But like when it comes to Darren Hall, it's good because you can see traits. You can see, hey, like this could work. And then like if he turns out to be a backup or like a plan B, so you're not like relying on Sean Mannions of the world to be your backup quarterback. And like, you know, if Kurt goes down, like twists an ankle or something, you want to put Darren Hall in and see what happens? Fine. I'm okay with that. He's shown enough where, and especially if he balls out in the preseason, then you can go, okay, let's see what we have here. Not like Kyle Sloter, I don't know the playbook, so I'm going to play backyard football type of ball out. But you know what
I mean. I like him. I've seen some comparisons out there to Russell Wilson. They're out there in terms of his size and his throwing ability, him being a former baseball player. He is older. I think he's married already. I think he has a kid already.
Well, I mean, he's 25. So,
hey, I didn't have a kid.
We're not talking about like I think Jordan Addison's still like
20,
just barely 21.
Yeah.
So
he's a mature prospect. It sounds like, I think when they asked Kwesi about him, like Kwesi was talking about like going back and watching like YouTube videos of him, like not necessarily his playing on the field, but like his interviews, his pressers, like things like that, just to see like how he is as a leader and everything. And that's important. I'm not so sure if Rick Spielman did that. Rick Spielman, who I believe said he didn't like the pick on the CBS Sports reaction show, which is hilarious, which makes me,
it's a fifth rounder,
which makes me like it even more. Because
what was his response to an overrated chant, though? I just want to know that. Like, you know, or like, is he good on a whiteboard?
Like, did he give the $100 bill back, which I understand now because I watched Draft Day.
You finally gave in. What did you think?
It's a terrible, terrible movie.
But it's freaking hilarious, isn't it?
But like, I understood all of it because this is my job to cover and everything. And I'm just like, if someone like who didn't follow football or the draft closely was watching this, they'd be like, what is going on? Like, why am I watching?
You know what?
We're watching guys talk on phones for 2 hours. Like, what is this?
You've watched The Office, right? Yeah. You remember I can't remember what episode it is, but like two people are like watching a movie and it's like Jack Black and this grandma, and it just gets more and more absurd. Like every time they check in on him, that's basically Draft Day. Like, you know, Will Levis starts sliding in the green room, and I tweeted it out. I just imagine like the security guy, just like, you know what he puts in his coffee, Sonny? Mayo. Puts mayo in his coffee, Sonny. And then he lied about it. And then he's like, oh, yeah, you got me, guys. I put mayo in my coffee all the time. I like the consistency. You know, it's a little weird, but yeah, whatever. There's nothing about that. Then let me tell you how he eats bananas. Like, he eats them with the peel on. Well, what were you thinking, you sick freak?
And he kept the $100 bill on the back of the
pillow. He kept the $100 bill on top of it. I saw a report that said, like, they brought Will Levis in to, like, explain his mistakes. And he's just like, yeah, I screwed up. not even like
They did the same thing, like, with Jaren Hall too, where like they purposefully, think one of the scouts, the Viking scouts, had like, they purposefully gave him a play where they knew that their wide receiver ran the wrong route. And Jaren Hall was just like, that's not on him. That's on me to, you know, make a better play or to get him to go in the right direction. That's not his fault. That's my fault. No.
Can I add one more that I heard? So obviously I cover South Dakota State football. Yep. I'm at the Brookings Register, and we went to Tucker Kraft's pro day and like checked in with him basically and asked him how things were going to do a story. And he was talking about like one of his visits, and one of them was with the Patriots. And he like went in there and they cut up like all of his bad plays and like showed it to him, like, what the hell happened here? And like Tucker was like, yeah, you know, I did this and you know, I did. So you screwed up. Well, no, so you screwed up. Yeah, I screwed up.
They wouldn't let him talk?
Yeah, well, I don't know if that was it, but like, it was just kind of that thing. Like, so you screwed up.
Yeah.
Yeah, I screwed up.
The Patriots had it. What did it?
But like, just to weird start with, that's like, of course it was the Patriots. Well, who else?
They had a weird draft though, like too. That? They got a kicker and a punter.
Were they the ones that took the kicker in the third
Niners,
round?
The Niners traded up for kicker.
In the third
and they
round.
Had they didn't have a pick until the second round.
Offensive genius Kyle Shanahan needs a
I
kicker.
Think he there's a video going around of Kyle Shanahan calling the kicker and being like, dude, you know that we liked you a lot because we picked you over a running back. So I'm like, that's why would you
he say, hates running backs.
Like we you're
no pressure,
you're
kid.
Good dude, but we could have got a running back instead of you, so don't mess up. Like what
he's gonna be caught in round two.
All right, what didn't you like about any of the moves that the Vikings made on or didn't make on during the draft? Like or was there did you like it all?
So I'll say one of the common criticisms I saw on Thursday, and I think it died down as the Vikings
trading
later. No, that wasn't it. It was the first round cornerback. You know, everybody was mad that the Vikings took Jordan Addison over first round. And they're like, well, look at the defense. Like, you know, look at that Giants game, whatever. I did a story on this for Zone Cut right now. And I went back and I looked at top corner of the draft since 2000. 11 of those players have become Pro Bowlers. Only 4 of those players became All Pros. Xavier Rhodes is on this list, but how long did it take Xavier Rhodes to get to that form? 3 or 4 years.
3 or 4 years.
And I think too, like people forget Andrew Booth Jr. was a second round pick last year.
Yep.
I know he didn't play well. I know he was hurt. He was a second round pick.
Early Raheem, second round too, right?
Obviously, yes. This 40th overall, I think
yeah.
it was.
Yeah.
Like this team believes in Andrew Booth and like, they're not just going to bail just because one season went bad and he got torched in that Dallas game, probably because he was injured.
Yeah.
Then a Caleb Evans played very well when he was on yep. the field. He had 3 concussions. Like the Vikings and they signed Byron Murphy Jr. Yep. too. Like the Vikings problem wasn't that they needed Sauce Gardner on the field, although no. it would be nice yeah. at that point. They just needed somebody that was competent. So they go down, they get Mekhi Becton, or I keep saying Becton because that's the only Mekhi I know. And like, yeah. he was like 400 pounds. I would love to see that dude playing corner, but
he'd be good in press coverage.
Positionless football, baby. Just, let's put the tackle at corner.
Just stick him at the line.
But Becton's man coverage numbers were really good. Yep. They only targeted him 18 times, but he had 2 interceptions and a 0.0 passer rating allowed. You know, I think it just came down to this is a similar prospect to who we can get here. Let's wait until the third round. Let's get our guy and let's get some depth in here, because in a best case scenario, it's going to take 2 or 3 years for anybody that we take to have a meaningful role on this team. So that's why I liked the Addison pick, and I didn't like the idea of taking a first round corner, because when you think about it, too, most of the receivers that are taken, the ones that are good are day 1 or day 2 picks. Yeah. The Vikings had 23. Jordan Addison was there. If they waited until 87, who's going to be like, you're going to take Trey Palmer, who I liked, but not Jordan Addison. Like you had a shot at one of the top receivers in a short receiver draft and you're looking for a number 2 receiver. Take that guy over the corner and go get your depth somewhere else. I think that's one of the biggest flaws that Mike Zimmer had during his tenure, because he knew the same thing. He knew that his cornerbacks were going to get banged up, but he forced it in round 1 all the time.
He did? You think he did that? Yeah. I mean,
that video, I will never forget the video with him and Justin Jefferson, like when he fell and like Rick Spielman was like, we got him, Mike, we got him. And Mike's like, we're getting a corner.
Yeah, yeah.
Mike, shut the hell up. We're taking Justin Jefferson.
Yeah. That yeah. Yeah. Lots of, but I will agree with Mike Zimmer though. Like, you can't have enough corners because they just get hurt.
And you can get them in round 3, yeah, 4, and 5, right, instead of round 1 every
or,
year.
Yeah, or undrafted free agents or whatever. But yeah, in terms of disappointment, I would say the only thing that bothered me maybe...
Save big money at Menards. Gorilla tapes, glues, and adhesives are perfect for jobs around the house, indoors and out. Gorilla Heavy Duty Construction Adhesive has a 100% waterproof formula that provides a secure bond on any surface. From trim work to landscape block to hanging mirrors, it's all-purpose and holds in 30 seconds. Pick it up for your project and head to Menards.com to see all of our great deals going on now.
Save big money at Menards. Philip has just lost the respect of the youth league football team he coaches. He was asked what New England should do in the draft, and his answer was objectively terrible. The Athletic just wrote a great article about this, but Philip doesn't have the Athletic or the respect of a boisterous group of 11-year-olds who once looked up to him. Learn from Philip's error. Get the Athletic and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
Was they didn't add any offensive linemen. And I think that's an area still where they might need some more help. They're basically rolling into next season with the guys that they had last year, which were good as run blockers, but when it came to pass blocking, like Ezra Cleveland, Ed Ingram, Garrett Bradbury, arguably the worst interior offensive line when it comes to pass blocking in the entire NFL. And you guys are just going to be like, this is what we got again. Like, I could see Ed Ingram progressing.
Good luck, Kirk.
Yeah. I could see Ed Ingram progressing, making progress. He has a full offseason to train with the Vikings and learn and get better. Ezra Cleveland, not so optimistic about because he's been there a couple of years. And if he's playing like this now, and maybe it's the new switch, the new offense as well. Maybe that had something to do with it. And now they all get a year in the offense. Maybe that's what the Vikings are banking on. Like, get these guys in here again. They'll be more, you know, and learn what we want to do on offense, and we'll switch things up. So maybe it doesn't put them on an island so much to block guys like Kenny Clark and Akeem Hicks and just get destroyed every time. But yeah, I feel like they could have added somebody. I know they added a couple guys with their undrafted free agents, but I would like to see them maybe at least add a guard who could have maybe challenged Ed Ingram for his job, because he was not good last year. And he was a second round pick too. So maybe they're doing the same thing as they are with Booth. I would argue that Booth's future is probably a little brighter than Ed Ingram's.
Ed Ingram was a good run blocker.
He was.
Though. Like, if he improves on his run blocking, this is the sunny side up with Ed Ingram, yeah. I think. If he improves on his run blocking and just gets a little bit better in pass protection, that's a solid starter at guard. Yeah, so I mean, I'm not the president of the Ed Ingram fan club, but I think there is something to having continuity this time around where you're going to have Ezra Cleveland, you're going to have Christian Darrison, Brian O'Neill, and it's just like, okay, can the interior line just be serviceable? Can you run block? Can you slow people down when it comes to, because like, they're not going to stonewall anybody, but I mean, it's part of the process. Like, this wasn't a good draft for interior linemen.
No, it wasn't. So maybe that's probably why. Last question on this, their selections in this draft. Last pick they made was a running back who I believe led the nation in rushing last year, like 1,700 yards around there.
Mm-hmm.
Dwayne McBride. Is that just like the seal on the envelope shipping Dalvin Cook out the door? That's just the latest sign, or? Is Dalvin Cook?
I think Dalvin Cook's going to get released.
Yeah.
I don't think there's going to be a trade now.
There's so many rumors like, oh, they got a trade in place or whatever. I'm like, with who?
Who's putting that out there, you think?
His agent.
I might be the guy on Tarps Off or whatever that podcast is going like, Dalvin's got two good shoulders now. And like Minnesota, they've been mediocre. Yeah. Like, you know, I mean, it's not Dalvin's fault. I mean, you know. He only played with a broken shoulder willingly for what, 4 years?
I think I saw the rumors that like the Dolphins have like a trade in place for him or whatever after June 1st, but they re-signed all the running backs. They drafted a running back. Why are they going to trade for a running back whose cap hit is it'll be around like eight or 9 million.
Who needs a running back at this point? Like the Lions had DeAndre Swift and they were like, nah, let's take one at 12.
The Lions don't. I'm like,
Dan Campbell. Dan, that is a Dan Campbell special. You know, he was in the war room just like, all right, boys, I got this fucking idea. Let's take a fucking running back at number 12. Like, yeah, you know, what about Bijan? We could just take, take Jameer. Like, hey, you know, we got DeAndre Swift. Oh, fuck, man. I forgot about him. Let's get on the phone and trade him for some picks.
Signed David Montgomery this offseason as well.
Then he gets a linebacker. Oh, it's 17. And I'm not laughing. These could all wind up being good picks, but as far as like value goes, like it just wasn't good. He gets a linebacker, then he gets a tight end. This is ultimate Dan Campbell football. I fully expected him to come out like in one of those war rigs in Mad Max and just have a venti in each hand with like flames shooting out and just stone cold those piping hot bad boys. It's like, this is the draft, man. We're here.
It's funny.
And like every other scout's just like, oh my God, what is happening?
It's funny. The picks that they made as far as like the players that they got, if you switched them around a little bit, like they got Brian Branch in the second round. They got Hendon Hooker. Who else did they get in the second round? The tight end from Iowa,
Laporta.
If you switch some of those guys around, like it would have been fine. Like if you got Brian Branch at number 12, people would have been fine. If you put, you know, Jahmyr Gibbs at 18, people probably would have been like, I don't know, but they would have been fine. Like if you put Laporta in the early pick of the second round, I think he was actually the first pick in the second round. But like, I saw that was an.
I think it just speaks to how weird this draft was. Like this, there was a lot of prospects with question marks and everything. I mean, some people might have said, "Hey, why aren't the Lions taking a quarterback?" Well, we saw with Levis and Hooker, nobody really liked them that much. As people, I mean, I threw on the TV on Thursday morning, and Ryan Leafs on my TV going like, "Hendon Hooker, you gotta take him," and I'm going like, "Why would I trust you on quarterback play?" No offense, dude. But I mean,
wouldn't trust him.
Yeah, I mean, there's
wouldn't trust him on a lot.
There are some analysts like Dan Orlovsky was like his career highlight is running for his life from Jared Allen and eating foods like a toddler, like
plain chicken with ranch dressing. Yeah, like
boiled eggs with ketchup.
The draft. I feel like I went on the fan sided main show or whatever on the stream on Thursday on Stack in the Box, their podcast, and they asked me, like, what do you think of the draft so far? And I'm like, I felt like it was kind of normal. Like, there was a lot of chaos expected, and there were some trades and stuff, but nothing was like, oh, my God, can you believe that? No, there was nothing like that. Like, if the Vikings...
There wasn't an A.J. Brown trade.
If the Vikings traded up from 23 to 3 and got Anthony Richardson, that would have been chaos. And oh, my God, like, can you believe it? But the Texans trading back up to get Will Anderson and like whatever trades there were. I guess there was like a record number of trades or whatever this year. But like it was just because this pool or class wasn't that good. Like guys were like,
right,
why don't we just get more picks for next year? Because that class is going to be better, which is always the case.
Like the Bears were really interesting to me because it was just like they were more concerned with getting picks for next year than like making their own selections. Like we had a guy in this dynasty league I used to be in, like every time he was on the clock, like third round in a dynasty. All right, who wants to trade it? Make your freaking pick. Come on. Like that's basically what the Bears did.
Yeah. And I don't blame them because there wasn't, and they signed a lot of guys in free agency and they got DJ Moore. So they don't necessarily need to bring in guys to help them. They know they're not going to probably be a contender next year anyway. So not like we need guys right now, which is puzzling with some of the stuff that the Lions are doing right now. Cause like they're right on the edge and you're like, what are you doing? Just like get someone who can help you right now. Not a linebacker.
Who was there?
Yeah.
Who was there? Like looking at the draft, like who,
I'm not talking about quarterback, they were at six. They were at pick six. They could have got Jalen Carter. They could have gotten like a bunch of guys that could have helped them much more than a running back who's going to share carries with David Montgomery. Like he's not even going to be a three down guy.
It's like the Lions are like WWE right now where you don't know, like anything good is like a Ben Johnson
who's running,
and anything bad is a Dan Campbell move.
Yeah.
Like, oh yeah, that's a Dan Campbell move.
And I think the Lions GM actually also said like if Jahmyr Gibbs was there at six or whatever, we would have been comfortable taking. What?
That would have been chaos. Like over Bijan, that's like, been like, whoa.
That's like Daniel Jones at like three, Mitchell Trubisky, you know.
But I like Jahmyr Gibbs as a prospect is the thing. I think he's like there was some steam the Vikings could have taken him. It was probably false steam looking at it now, but I mean, you know, he's a Kamara type offense or a Kamara type weapon in the backfield. And I mean,
I just think
him and Montgomery is a little interesting, but
I just think a lot of people had him as like a late first, early second kind of guy. And there's like, nope. And of course the Lions are like, well, I got a lot of text afterwards that said like, if we didn't take him, there was like six more teams that are ready to take him. I'm like, no, there weren't.
Nobody's going to come out and say, yeah, you know, we got texts from everybody in the NFC North. Like, dude, I got a third round grade on that guy. What are you doing?
I think actually like, Kyle Shanahan got a bunch of texts after they traded up to get a kicker. And he was like, yeah, everyone was making fun of me. It's like, yeah, of course they did. Cause you traded in the third round.
But when you're an offensive genius, don't you just go for two every time?
Yeah. And how about when the Vikings traded? We're just basically just going off the rails here, but we're just going over the draft. How about when the Vikings made a trade with the Niners and everyone's like, oh my God.
It's a Trey Lance, Trey Lance. Oh my God, we got him. Oh, it's just a fifth round pick.
But wasn't anything. Everyone's like, oh. Yeah. And I would say with the Jaren Hall pick, I wouldn't. I'll never rule out a trade with the Vikings, especially because I don't know. I don't think Trey Lance is a thing anymore after they drafted a quarterback. I think they'd rather invest in him. He would He costs a lot less to keep. They wouldn't have to give anything up. They didn't have to give anything up to get him. I think his cap hit is like under $1 million. So that's probably the better option. And Kirk is probably just staying. And then I wanted to talk about the undrafted free agents, but we can talk about that some other time. Those couple guys that are like, okay, they're interesting, like PFF's top graded linebacker or whatever, Ivan Pace Jr. that everyone's apparently in love with. And
can I bring up one thing that I was going to talk about?
Yeah.
Andre Carter the second, first round prospect by some at the beginning of the process. And I'm like, so why did that guy go undrafted? I looked at his mock draftable. He is in the, I don't even know how to say it, the zero percentile, however, of bench press. And I'm thinking, dude, you're in the freaking army.
What did he do?
I don't know. I didn't look at that, but I just saw a zero on a spider chart. And I'm like, yeah, that's probably why he didn't get drafted. Like, you know, he could probably show up to my doorstep right now and be like, let's have a push-up contest and he'd whoop my ass for sure. But like, how are you not like a house if you're like A, on the football team and B, in the army? Like, you would think that you'd just be doing push-ups all damn day. So that's the only thing I really wanted to like really get out of there. But we could talk about UDFAs a little bit more
next week.
Yeah.
Yeah. We can dive deep into UDFAs because it's officially the offseason and we're going to need a lot of stuff.
Hashtag content.
But
baby.
Real quick before we get out here, Kwesi Adofo-Mensah was asked after the draft on Saturday in his press conference, you know, like, are you, you know, what does Kirk Cousins have to do basically in the next 8 to 10 months to, like, I don't know, basically prove that he can be the starter after next season? And Kwesi was like, he doesn't have to do anything. I already know, like, what he's capable of and what he can do. He braved and whatever about him. But then he also said, like, you know, like, we're keeping all of our options open. Everything's on the table, you know, as far as like, we can bring him back, we can go with someone else. But it doesn't sound like they've closed the door yet on an extension, not an extension, but it would be a new deal. I guess it would be an extension if they sign him before next season. But what do you think the chances are, or any chance, that Kirk Cousins gets extended before the start of this season? Is there any chance at all?
Oh, it's non-zero. Okay. Like I wouldn't put it. I bet you it's less than, let's go 25%, 75-25. Okay. Maybe that's a little bit high, but I put it that low because the only way this happens is if Kirk Cousins signs a non-guaranteed deal. And we've been saying this all year.
Yeah.
Like, you know, he loves his fully guaranteed 1 year deals. And like, I believe the stuff when people say he wants to retire a Viking, because he seems to like it here. Most people like him as a human.
Yeah, he's
like,
fine.
A lot of people don't have a like major issue with Kirk Cousins, like as a human, as a football player, they would like more from him. But I mean, the Vikings are right when they say, you know, you could do a hell of a lot worse. The problem is that he's making $35 million and you need another guy that can take you to another level. If he signs like a short-term 3-year deal with like funny money on the back, I think the Vikings would do it. The problem is that's not Kirk's MO.
He's not doing that.
I mean, that's why I say 75-25, because it's interest. Yeah. I mean, I just don't see Kirk doing that. And if he did, cool. Like, I have no problem with keeping Kirk Cousins around for another year or two and having that like dummy year on the back. I just think that, yeah, his past history says no.
Yeah. They're going to probably have a little bit of extra money once they move on from Dalvin and probably Za'Darius Smith as well at some point. But I would think they might want to spend that more on a different position group to maybe help them, maybe another defensive lineman or maybe even another corner or a linebacker or something else. But I would be surprised if they used that some of that money to give Kirk an extension. Like you said, he's going to want fully guaranteed. And even if he doesn't want fully guaranteed, the guaranteed money that he is going to want is going to be high. So like, it's not like he's going to be like, I'll take 20 million guaranteed. That's it. And it's like, yeah. No, that's not going to. So I would put the chances low as well that he will get extended before the start of the season, especially because they just drafted someone too.
The key word for this too is flexibility. Yeah. Like the Vikings want to go into next year and they want, so like, let's say the Vikings say, okay, we'll do the 3-year. Let's just say it's $30 million guaranteed. 3 years, $30 million guaranteed. Ironclad. It's yours, Kirk, whatever. He goes in next year and he like falls off a cliff physically, which is a possibility because we've seen it with other quarterbacks just all of a sudden just tank out of nowhere. The Vikings are like, shit, we got 2 years of Kirk Cousins here. If they play it 1 year, and like, this gets back to what I was saying, like, this isn't about 2023.
No.
Are the Vikings going to try and win games in 2023? Yeah. You're damn right. They're the NFC North favorites. Of course they are. But I think they're also operating with
the Lions, like Lions favorites.
I think so. I think, how are the Lions better? Like, we just got done ripping.
Oh, I don't think they're better, but I think the Lions are the betting favorite, like betting odds.
They are the betting favorite. Yeah. Yes. Betting favorite. I think the Lions, or I think the Vikings should be the favorites. Yeah. Is what I'm saying. Because I mean, they just have a better team. They're coming off a 13 win season. Like, I know the Lions were better towards the end of the year and they handed the Vikings an ass kicking in Detroit. But I also think that, you know, there's just more there for the Vikings. Like, Chris Sims put it a very good way. Like here's what the Vikings are doing. You know, you have quarterback issues. He's making a lot of money. In this situation, you build the team. You build the hell out of the roster. You build around Kirk Cousins so that you're like, again, the Jets. You're one quarterback away. So you can find who's ever out there. Like, that's what Kwesi is doing. So at the end of this year, he can look at what Kirk did this year. And it's not like Kirk has to prove anything. He's right on that. But he can look at his options. He goes, okay, we can keep Kirk Cousins. He got us to the NFC championship game or whatever. And we got smoked, or the divisional round probably, because they'll run into the Niners or Eagles. Like, and then he can go, we can keep Kirk Cousins. Our draft pick's a little low, so maybe we can't trade up, but we have all our picks if we want to do that. Or Joe Burrow is pissed off in Cincinnati and the Bengals won't sign him, but we have cap space now, so come on over. Like, far-fetched idea, but stranger stuff has happened in the NFL.
Well, there's that.
And we talked about it, too. The Bengals, they're cheap.
There's that. So, there's, hey, the Chargers are not known for being
I can see Justin Herbert
generous with their money as well. So keep an eye on that. They'd be incredibly dumb to get let him go. Kyler Murray, someone out there that could be available, because the Cardinals are likely going to have one of the top two picks next year. In the draft, and who knows what that coach wants to do. I don't even know what
the Cardinals are a franchise, right?
I just have so many
picks for next year. They have the hell they want.
I keep hearing their coach, Jonathan Gannon, who used to be a Vikings assistant under Mike Zimmer. And I wish I would have known about him before, because like, seeing that video of him going up to Rondale Moore and being like, like, have you seen that video?
No.
Where he greets Rondale Moore and he's just like making noises. He's like, oh, I'll have to send it to you, because it's I don't know even what to make.
Pew, pew,
yeah,
pew.
Pretty much. That's pretty much what he does. Is it
worse than like Adam Gase, like at his press conference?
It's pretty. But yeah, Kirk Cousins, like, I don't even think the Vikings would be against bring Kirk Cousins back for 2024. It's just his cost is too much. Like, if he cost $20 million in 2024, I don't think they would be like, they don't seem like they're rushing into the quarterback thing, which one is very good, because I don't think you can say that about Rick Spielman. I think that was part of his problem, where he's like, oh, we need a quarterback. We got to get one no matter what, instead of, you know, maybe focusing on the rest of the team, like you mentioned. I don't think they would be totally against bringing Kirk Cousins back, but with the way that he likes his contracts and the way that, you know, he's getting older and everything, I think they're getting ready to move on. And right now, 2024 seems like the year that they're going to move on. But what do you think Kirk Cousins has to do next season to maybe earn a new deal from the Vikings in 2024?
Outside of taking a non-guaranteed deal, I think NFC Championship or Super Bowl. I think NFC Championship might be enough to convince them, but he cannot like physically fall off from where he was. Because like, people forget his stats were down a little bit, but the Vikings won games and that's fine.
They were down, but I think he was more efficient. Like, he was better when they needed him to be.
Yes. Like, if Kirk goes into these fourth quarter comeback scenarios and starts throwing picks and like just like melting down like old Kirk, that's going to turn off the Vikings very quick. Like I said, I don't think there's anything that's really needs to be proven to Kwesi. It's more just a thing of, can you continue to play like you've been playing? And can you lead this team further than you've previously led them? Like, if they win a wild card game and just get blasted in the divisional round, I don't think that would be enough to get a contract extension. But if he leads them to the Super Bowl, you got some questions to ask, because you're like, hey, this guy just led us to the Super Bowl. He's not tailing off. You want to do like a 2-year fully guaranteed extension, or what do we want to do here? Like, it's really tricky. And I understand why the Vikings are kind of like,
Yeah. He's got to win multiple playoff games. The Vikings haven't won multiple playoff games since 1987. That's when I was born. That's almost 36 years ago.
I was one.
Yeah. So I have no recollection of any season of the Vikings winning. They've gone to the NFC. Every time they've gone to the NFC Championship since then, they start in the divisional round. So they win that game, and then they lose the next game in the NFC Championship. So if he can help them win multiple playoff games, I think that's, which would be the NFC Championship or the Super Bowl. Yeah, I think that's his chances are a lot better. Like you said, it's got to be reasonable. The Vikings will have more cap space next year, so they'll be able to do that. I would assume that Harrison Smith, I think this has got to be his last season. He's getting up there. He seems like a guy that doesn't really want to just hang around and just let the game kick him out. Feels like he kind of wants to be the guy to make that decision. But even Kwesi's saying like, I don't need to see anything more from Kirk. It's like, you can look at that as like a damning statement as well. Like, I know what to expect from him. We know he's going to get to a certain point, and he's not going to get any higher though. So like, but if he's able to get higher than that, then okay, then we'll consider bringing him back. But yeah, I think a lot has to be done. Something Kirk Cousins has never done in his career. He's been in the league, this will be his 12th year in the league. So like, it's got to be different. And it could be, because he's going to be the Kevin O'Connell offense for a second year. Players progress even further because they've been in the offense for so long. And I think this is just the first time he's had the same offensive coordinator since he was with Washington. Maybe Sean McVay. So he hasn't even had that luxury. So it'll be interesting to see for sure. But that's going to do it for us today. If you're watching on YouTube, make sure to subscribe to our channel, like this video, and also follow the Vikings on Twitter and Facebook. And the audio version of this podcast will be available by the morning on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, iHeart, wherever you get your podcasts. But until next time, Chris and I talk to you later.
Philip has just lost the respect of the youth league football team he coaches. He was asked what New England should do in the draft, and his answer was objectively terrible. The Athletic just wrote a great article about this, but Philip doesn't have the Athletic or the respect of a boisterous group of 11-year-olds who once looked up to him. Learn from Philip's error, get the Athletic, and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.